What's the dough?
Shmuel David
Luzzatto. Very good, right? Shmuel David Luzzatto, 19th century exegete. But we saw last time that sometimes he dips into hashgafic matters and little points that he wants to make that, that he thinks are important. Sometimes he talks about his own life. Sometimes he talks about history as it was unfolding. Sometimes he talks about Jewish philosophy and what he thinks is true Jewish philosophy. We talked about this the first time we talked about Shadal, that he was an anti-Maimonidean, but also an anti-Kabbalist. He wrote a vikuach, a disputation against Kabbalah when he was like 19 years old. And he set it up like a conversation between a Kabbalist and like a Litvak type guy on Shavuos night. The entire Shavuos night, they just debate the entire Shavuos night about whether the Zohar is legitimate, whether Kabbalah has any basis in Judaism or it's from foreign influences. And you can tell that Shadal himself thinks that it is a foreign influence and he is against Kabbalistic ideas. Okay. But on the other hand, he's also an anti-Maimonidean because he believed that the Rambam basically took Jewish Greek philosophy and introduced it and kind of formulated Judaism in the vessel of Greek philosophy, and he felt it was overdone. Sometimes there are parallels, but not always. And he felt that the Rambam basically took that too far. You said you look like you have something to say.
I was just—it's kind of ironic because obviously the Ramchal, who sends Ram, is a Greek Kabbalist.
That's true. Exactly. The Ram—he definitely does not take in the direction of the Ramchal, who again was his great grand uncle. So. Somewhat distant, you know. Okay, so we see that sometimes he dips into this stuff and tries to demonstrate what he thinks is true Jewish philosophy. She says comes out of Tanakh and not out of the Rambam. Very much against the yeshiva mottos, I would say, a little bit. But still a fascinating figure. I give a Rav Kook class and I give a Shadal class. And I've talked about this before, how Shadal passed away about a month after Rav Kook was born. Shadal passed away in 1865, and Rav Kook was born in 1865, but separated by a month, meaning they overlapped being alive. And they are completely different people, completely different interests, and of course Rav Kook was a Maimonidean and a Kabbalist in a lot of different ways, if that makes any sense. And he was a halachist, he was an agadist. He wasn't really a commentary on the Torah, actually. You know, people collect his writings from all over to have it be a commentary on the Torah, but he himself never sat down and wrote, like, you know, a line-by-line commentary on the Torah. And it's kind of fascinating to, like, put them together, and are there parallels, are there differences? One parallel I just saw when I was preparing in Shoftim a few weeks ago, we talked a little bit about Shadal and whether it's a good thing to set up kings. Is that actually a mitzvah? So it's actually interesting that Rav Kook says that really the authority of a king comes from the people. And if the people don't want a king, but rather they want a democracy, then that's the same thing as appointing a king. He writes that in a tshuva. Then Nitziv says something very similar. So he might have gotten it from the Nitziv, who he learned in, Rav Kook had learned in Volozhin under the Nitziv for about a year. I think even less than a year, maybe. Hello. And it's interesting that Shadal has the same kind of idea, that it really depends on the society, and it's really about, you know, the needs of the people. So Shadal, the Nitziv, and Rav Kook seem to come on to the same idea. They're all living around the same time period. Of course, Rav Kook is about the next generation. But Nitziv and Shadal are about the same. And so it's kind of a fascinating project, if anybody's interested, Rav Kook and Shadal. Anyway, Parsha Nitzavim. So there's a couple of questions on the Parsha that Shadal tries to answer. Just two main ones. Is in the first pasuk goes like this, a kaf tet tet. It says, Atem Nitzavim Ayom, you are standing today, kulchem, all of you, lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, before Hashem your God. Hashem, Shifteichem, Zekneichem, Shotreichem, Kol Yish Yisrael. Goes into a list like your heads and your top people, your officers, and all of the people of Israel. And then he goes even further in the next pasuk, your children, your wives, and your strangers, I guess, converts, I don't know. are all in your camp, from the woodworker to the water drawer. The question all the Mefarshim want to deal with is, what is the point? What is Moshe trying to say? Hey guys, you're standing here today. Good for you. Like, is it an encouragement thing? Is it just like stating the obvious? What exactly does it mean to stand before God? So this is what Shaddai says. Atem nitzavim. You are standing here. Lo matzinu sh'anu amen. This is the first comment, you know, down there. Lo matzinu sh'anu amen. O asu shum davar. It doesn't say that they answered amen or did anything. Lehar oche hemi kavlin habrit. To show that they had accepted the covenant. Aval b'mashinish arusham. The fact that they're still standing there. L'shmo klalot. To mom, to listen to all these terrible curses that we talked about last time, the Moshe, make them up, according to Rashi, yes, according to which he got from the Midrash, but all these curses, and if you don't keep my word, all these curses are going to happen to you. I don't know if people could have walked away, but the fact that they didn't walk away shows that they are accepted, right? It's kind of like that halakhic principle, or maybe it's Talmudic principle of Shika Keoda, right? They stayed silent. The fact that they didn't answer either way, it doesn't matter. They were accepting of these curses and the fact that they have to keep the covenant of God, keep the Torah. Right? Asu atzmam ki mikablim. They made themselves into people as if they have accepted it explicitly. Zatam atem nitzavim. That's why it says, you are standing here, right? It's not saying, hey, take a look at you. Did you know that you're standing instead of sitting? Did you know that you're here instead of there? No, the idea is that you're standing here, and the fact that you're standing here is itself an acceptance of the covenant of God. And then we're going to see this comment also, that he talks about, what about someone who's not there? Oh, halach lo ba'emsa, or maybe left in the middle. Okay, we'll see that as well. But he says, the fact that you're standing here means that you accept the brit. I mean, this is an important thing. Like, when the fact that you're in yeshiva means that you want to be part of the yeshiva. It means that they want to be here. It means that they want the rebbeim to push them to show up for shirim. And it means that they want their madrichim to wake them up in the morning and to come to shacharis. Even though they don't, not always. Meaning that they don't always, but in the theory, in the back of their heads, that's why they're here. So I think it's an important thing to keep in mind, a little bit of Moser about attendance of him. Okay, one more comment at the end of Sheni. This is a very short parsha, right? So at the end of Sheni it says, in Yudalid, Kiet Asher Yishnupo Imanu, Omer Ayom Lefnei Hashem Elokeinu, those who are here with us are standing here before God. Right? By the way, Omer versus Nitzav is an interesting question. Like, what does it mean to stand versus to stand? Right? Nitzav and Omer have a similar synonyms. Bet Asher Einenu Po, but those who are not here, Imanu Ayom, are really here. Right? Are with us in this covenant. Okay, what does it mean, the people who are not here are with us? What does that mean?
Like, so,
hold on a second. So Rashi says it means future generations. They're not here today, but they will be there with us in the future. Okay, your comment is actually fascinating because the Rush and others on the Torah mention, all the souls were actually at this place, accepting the brit. That's what gives the authority of the Torah even to you and you and you and you, even though you weren't there that day at Har Sinai or at this point, I guess, Eber Yarden or something, right? At this point, before they passed into the land of Israel, you weren't there, but your spirit was. That's an idea that you'll find in the Rishonim on this bus. So right? It's not a foreign Rishonim. Idea. What?
Basically Rishonim.
Exactly. You're mechaveh to the Rishonim, which is, you know, another...
Well, if your soul is there, then... Everyone is like a Rishon. Everyone is.
It turns out you're actually a Bible character. You never knew. But okay. So it's interesting that the Ibn Ezra says, no. It means future generations. It does not mean that the souls were literally there. Like, the Ibn Ezra is like against this. You can look into the Ibn Ezra. I don't know why in particular he's like, maybe he finds it too mystical. I'm not sure exactly what he has a problem with that.
Is he like Kabbalah?
He isn't. Kabbalah didn't exist in the same way that we're talking. You know, when we talk about Kabbalah, we usually mean post Zohar, and he didn't know of the Zohar, presumably. But he was a big astrologist. I don't know if that makes you a Kabbalist.
Also, Ibn Ezra, like I heard that he likes to take the Torah much more literally, right?
He is much more Pashto.
And Kabbalah is more Midrashi, more other.
I guess so. You would require a lot of like, exactly. You'd require information like the idea of a soul being present.
What does that mean? It's like, isn't a soul like, by definitely like attached to the body? When like, by like, in this world, like, what does that mean? Like a soul being.
Right.
It's like a floating spirit.
Yeah, I don't know if the rush means that literally that the souls were actually there or that they were there potentially. I don't know. I don't even know what the rush means, but the Ibn Ezra you're saying might have had philosophical differences. It's interesting. Yonah's like, maybe he has philological problems, meaning in the text itself, and you're like, maybe he has philosophical problems. Okay. Or maybe he's just anti-Kabbalah. I don't know. It's interesting. It could be all possible. It happens to be that the Ketav of HaKabbalah, which is a commentary of Ritzvi, I want to say Ritzvi Yaakov Mecklenburg. He also lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and he has a commentary on the Torah, Ketav HaKabbalah, a very fascinating commentary. I think anybody should take a look at it. It's very cool. Sometimes he quotes Shaddal, which is rare because Shaddal was considered a little bit outside of the mainstream. So you wouldn't have mainstream rabbis kind of quoting him, but he quotes him all the time, quotes him a lot. And here he says that there's a Pashtun who thinks like what Shaddal is about to say, and he totally disagrees with him. Let's see what Shaddal says right here. He says, "V'tasheri ninu po, eina kavana klal al doro tabaim." This does not refer to future generations. Way up against Rashi. Because there's no hint, except for maybe here, I guess, if you want to read it this way, but there's no other hint in this entire text to any reference to future generations. You all are here. It says that in the text, in the first pasuk that we read. You all are here. And so what does he say? But why does it say here? But those who aren't here are also here with us. If everybody's here, it means that there's no one missing. So what would it mean? Right? Rashi makes a lot of sense in that context. For Tzvi Yaakov Mecklenburg in the Talmud Kabbalah makes this argument as well. It says all of you, so that means it must be only referring to future generations. So Shaddal tries to answer that as well. He says, V'imulai yesh adam shelo balakan. Maybe there's just one or two guys that aren't around, meaning that they didn't come for some reason. Liyoto, chole, o siba acher. Maybe he was sick. He was sick in bed. It could happen. A guy is sick in bed. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving this big speech. It's possible, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that they are, not part of the Kulchem. The Kulchem is most people. It's 99.9% of the people. He says, if there's anyone who's not standing with us right now, but happens to be sick or is out for some reason, de'u ki gam et asher einenu po, even those people who are currently supposed to be here, but aren't here, ani kore tabriti azot. The brit still is made with them as well. Even the guys who don't come to Shacharis are still part of the yeshiva, right? Even the guys who don't come to Shir, still part of the yeshiva. Obviously, they're only out because they're sick or some other good reason, right? Not that they don't want to go to Shir or something. But anyway, so Tzvi Yaakov Mecklenburg makes the argument, like we said. It says, Kulchem. That means it can only be that everybody is there. And he says that he doesn't name Shaddal, but he says one of the Pashtuns, one of the Mefarshei HaPshat, got it wrong. And I think the only one that we can point to as the Mefarshei HaPshat possibly be talking about this here, because the vast majority of Rishonim either talk about souls or talk about future generations or something like that, Shaddal is the only one that I found who's talking about it as if it's the people who are right here right now, not future generations. I think the Ketav HaKabbalah is fighting against Shaddal, then believes that this is talking about all the future generations as well. Very fascinating little fight in the late 1800s on the shot of this pasuk. What does it mean that they weren't here? All right, go ahead, guys.